May the word be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. May we hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. I love that scripture. It's amazing how, you know, first we were, early this week, talked, you know, a few verses in 1 Timothy about sound doctrine, but one in 1 Timothy 4, Paul talks about in the last times there would be deceivers and doctrines of demons, you know, and people would believe. And I really believe one of the biggest ones, and I just see it all the time in a group of guys I'm with and trying to encourage them in the things of the Spirit, is the doctrine that's only been around about 120 years or so, that has to do with diminishing the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit left with all his gifts and all these kind of other things, which is just, there's just so more to it than that, because Jesus, you know, said the Holy Spirit takes a mind and gives it to you. And so I just really think that is I really pray against that all the time. It's really deceptive. It's really demonic. And I've seen people come out of that. It's like a scales fall off their eyes or something. But we so desperately need the Holy Spirit. I was listening today, came up on my YouTube feed. I like to listen to him quite often. A guy named, I don't know if you're familiar with him. Some of you are here, I know for sure. A guy named Derek Prince. And Derek Prince, just great. He's in heaven celebrating now, but really great teaching on deliverance. Some real solid stuff. And I was just talking today, and he was just having this little conference and just going over some things, and I thought it was really good. And I was revisiting some stuff, but really believe the Lord led me to these scriptures because it's important, because we know, we were talking about angels yesterday, how, you know, angels are always interacting with us, and they're around us, they encamp around us, they, you know, throughout the book of Acts, where they let people out of jail, you know, spoke to them, told Paul, you know, when the shipwreck, that everybody would be saved on that ship. It was an angel that told him that, you know. Holy Spirit could have told him that, but it was an angel, because I think the way the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures is that to want to let us know that they're very much there, right? And in the same way, we wrestle against, and part of that doctrine of demons has come to blind people to the reality of they're real demons too, right? If you take away the Holy Spirit and all the supernatural things, the awareness of the kingdom of God around us. Bracken just read the gospel, you know, about John the Baptist talking about the kingdom of God is here. Well, if you start diminishing everything that's within this kingdom, you know, down to a book, we're missing out on a lot, especially if you don't realize, or we're not aware, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that there are actually ministering spirits, demonic spirits, that can come and harass and oppress. And, you know, we all know that. Mary and Connie, I know we've been ministered together and for years, and we've seen the reality of that. Matthew chapter 4, of course, is when Jesus went into the wilderness. For 40 days, it says, to be tempted by the devil. For years, I believe that he was just kind of fasting in the wilderness, and then Satan came to him those three different times. But in reality, Scripture says, especially in Luke, that for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was tempted and harassed continually, meaning that there had to be more than just one spirit there. There were probably several demonic spirits that were just harassing him, tempting him. Every temptation man could know was just hitting him all the time. And then he comes out of that in the, it said he went in full of the Holy Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Spirit. And part of that was teaching him how to walk and depend on the Holy Spirit within him. And then Jesus goes into Galilee and starts his ministry. That's where he started his public ministry, in Galilee and the surrounding areas. And in verse 23 of chapter 4, it says, Jesus was going throughout Galilee. He was teaching in synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness among the people. News about him spread throughout all Syria and throughout, and brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Then it said, large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem, from Judea and from beyond the Jordan. All these people who were seeing these miracles, and that where miracles had happened to them, where they were healed and delivered and set free, they were all following him, right? And then this is when he, sits down on the mountain and starts teaching in the Sermon of the Mount, which I really believe, because if you get a person healed, or you get a person set free, say there is a demonic thing there and they're set free, right? One of the most important things to teach them is how to stay set free, right? How to keep from being demonized again, right? Even Jesus talked about some things that's kind of bizarre to us, but if a spirit's cast out and he comes back and finds a welcome mat, he's going to bring seven more with him, right? So it's important to help us know how to stay free. Now, nobody's going to stay free the rest of their lives. They're going to attack us, We're going to get hit. There's going to be warfare. We know that. But I'm talking about where they don't come and take up residence with me, where they're not hanging around in my atmosphere where I can do something. And I really believe part of that is what Jesus began to teach of the Sermon on the Mount. I think that's what the Lord was kind of just opening my eyes even greater to. So starting off, we don't have time. We're just going to take about 5 minutes or so to go through these. But I can really see that. And the very first thing he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, right? The word poor is like the worst word of poor you can possibly get. It actually means it's the word for bent over. Someone who's bent over begging, who is absolutely destitute and poor, right? Blessed are those, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that one thing you don't have to convince a bent over poor person who is begging, you do not have to convince him that he is poor, right? You don't have to teach him how poor. He knows how poor he is. Well, what this is talking about is those who are poor in spirit. That we desperately need Jesus. We are created by him, for him, and my need for him is absolutely great. That's like the entrance into the kingdom of God, right? And to me, staying set free and living in an environment like that is my absolute need, because if I ever get move away from my need for God, then that opens the door to just pride, right? Just arrogance of living and I don't need the Lord, So there's so much more we can talk about that, but remaining poor in spirit is something I want to remain the rest of my life, where I absolutely know that apart from him, as Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing, absolutely nothing. The very next one is real important. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, or they shall be paracleted, or filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Those who mourn is those who are mourning over, who mourn over their sin, right? Because if I get to a place where I don't mourn over my sin, now that's, mourning over my sin has nothing to do with beating myself up or just, walking around and just guilt all the time or shame. It means, owning it and mourning over it and grieving over it because of what it does to me, right? And what it does to my relationship with the Lord. So blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. One says, and Luke says, they shall laugh, or they shall be continually filled, right? So the way, the atmosphere around me to keep me free is quickly owning my sin, calling it what it is, right? Calling it sin, and then giving it to him. I don't ever want to get to a place in my life where I don't grieve over my stuff or my brokenness when the Lord convicts me or tells me about it or that's just kind of my prayer to the Lord. And TC and I were talking about something recently and just pointing something out, and I'd been doing kind of blind too. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to get away from that, right? And I believe these build on top of each other too. I've always seen these, when Jesus is teaching them, they're just not randomly thrown out there, that they kind of build on each other. One is to enter into the kingdom, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. I can't mourn over my sin if I'm not poor in spirit, right? poor in spirit. I mourn over it. Thank God. And mourning over it is just being able to receive the grace of God too. That's part of it. That I mourn over it, give it to Him, and then He pours out His grace on me, right? And blessed are the gentle or the humble. And it says, for they shall inherit the earth. I always wonder about that. What that means, inherit the earth? But that word earth is just your area, right? Your life. Blessed are the gentle or the humble, for they you shall inherit or rule and reign in your what God's called you to in life, where you are in life. And gentle is just another word for the word humble. All right? If I'm poor in spirit and I'm mourning, I'm owning my stuff, then there's going to be a humility about me, right? Because God says He teaches the humble His way. He hangs out with the humble. There's just so much He teaches about humility. You know, and one of the earmarks, I think, of humility is that you're very teachable, right? If you walk in humility, you're very teachable. You know, if I'm not teachable to people, then I'm not teachable to the Lord either, right? Because you learn as in humility, you can receive from anywhere, anybody, anytime, anything, right? You just walk around that. So much stuff I challenge you to go do, especially in the Psalms. There's so many cool things about what God does with the humble, you know, over and over again. Then the next one, because if I'm teachable, then it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you'll be satisfied, right? If you walk in humility, and your hunger and your thirst for righteousness, for God's righteousness, then He promises you're going to be satisfied in full. And this next one's very important. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, people who walk around merciful are those who are quick forgivers, right? And we all know that unforgiveness, holding on to unforgiveness, Jesus teaches about that in Matthew 18, holding on to unforgiveness can release tormentors in my life, right? It can release demonic activity where they just stay with me and torment me all the time. But if I'm walking in mercy, I'm a person that forgives quickly because I have this revelation of the mercy that I need, right? I love that scripture. I always loved it because it says, you know, if I'm a merciful person, I'll receive mercy quickly, right? Again, another atmosphere that spirits of unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, resentment, all that, just can't hang out in that atmosphere. So what I'm talking about is creating a thing around you within your heart and mind and stuff where it's hard for them to stay there. You know, they're just like, too much light there. I got to get out of here. Go, right? If you're a mercy person, or a person who's really quick to forgive and not hold grudges and stuff, then you'll receive a bunch of mercy, and those things will not, the tormentors will not hang around you. They'll go, right? And we see that. Probably the number one thing you have to help people do in inner healing is lead them through forgiveness, right? I would say that is the number one thing. And then the next one, I believe, because a person is poor in spirit, owning their stuff, humble, hungry and thirsting for righteousness, they're quick to forgive, merciful, then they're pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God, right? Everything I've been talking about, I think Jesus was talking about up until then, stacking on top of each other, creates a very pure heart in me. The pure in heart get a revelation of God, who He is, right? And if you have a pure heart, that means a heart with no mixture. Again, it's hard for the unholy to try to come in there and dwell, right? Again, you want to create an atmosphere where he don't want to be in, where he gets out of there and just makes it hard for him. The next one, just real quick, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So all of those, again, on top of each other, I'm merciful and pure in heart, so I see God, then I bring and make peace. You know, blessed, not a peacekeeper, again, we've talked about that before, but a peacemaker. Blessed are peacemakers who bring the peace of God. They carry the peace of God with them. So if you're carrying the peace of God and you're walking in the peace of God, then things like anxiety, fear, stress can't hang out, right? Because if peace is my experience, those are the very opposite things of peace, right? Then he goes on, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And when people insult and persecute you, Say everything about you. Rejoice and be glad. So if these other things are going on within me, and someone's persecuting me, or talking about me, or, you know, for the sake of righteousness, which is going to happen, then I'm so quick to let that go and forgive, right? And be merciful and rejoicing, and I'm not getting angry or bitter or resentful at that kind of stuff. You see how that's kind of stacked on top of each other? And how that, I believe what Jesus is teaching these people who have been healed and set free, and he's got their attention because they knew what it's like to be enslaved to all this stuff. Now they're free, and so he's teaching them, hey guys, this is how you're going to stay free, right? So, wish we had more time to spend on that.